We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask for your guidance now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us. We pray that you open the meaning of Scripture for us as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 22, verses 47 to 53, the power of darkness. The term, the mysterious term, the power of darkness, found really twice in Scripture, but actually alluded to in a third verse. The verses are Luke 22:53, which is the final verse of our text. The words of Jesus to his disciples, or to his enemy rather. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Alluded to in Acts 26, verse 18. Paul's mission to the Gentiles, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And repeated, Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In the verses that follow, if Christ doesn't come back first, we are going to see him suffer like no man has ever suffered before or since. And it'll culminate in the 3 hours of darkness from 12 noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon when nobody could see a thing. And the only word that Jesus spoke there was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So as we look at these words this morning and, God willing, in future weeks, there's a few things that we should remember. And among them are these, that there is a war between the serpent and the seed of the woman that has been going on ever since the Garden of Eden to this present day. And there has been no let up. It's been constant. Every day, every hour, every minute, every second, the battle is being waged and has been waged for some 6,000 plus years. And during all that time, Satan has never landed one single punch. You've got to remember that. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have been in full control of anything, through everything, throughout all history. And that hasn't changed when we look at the cross on Golgotha. We have to remember that Satan is throwing his worst right now, but it's all under the control of the Father, and the Son. And as we move through the passion history of Jesus, if we have eyes that can see, we see that Jesus Christ is in full control of every single thing that is happening. And he could have stopped at any minute, any second that he had wanted to by praying for the angels to come. But he's doing this to obey the will of the Father and to save his bride. And it's all in preparation for the marriage. He is crushing the head of the serpent throughout this whole episode. Now, the scene as it unfolds takes place in the darkness of night, the darkest night there ever has been. The main one involved here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's a multitude that's going to be coming out who are his enemies. Judas Iscariot will lead the crowd, one of the 12. The others that are there are the disciples, the ones which were following him. One of them is named, and that's Peter. There's a reference to another one, the servant of the high priest. And he's going to play a very important part in this, although he doesn't realize it. And then you have the chief priests, the captains of the temple, and the elders. All appear on the stage at this one time. And they are the VIPs of the Jewish church. Now there are some, this event is given to us by the Holy Spirit in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This parallels the fact that of all the miracles Jesus did, there were only one that was recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So there's a parallel between that and what we're looking at here in the darkness of Gethsemane. The miracle that was recorded by all four Gospels is what we normally call the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. But it was more than 5,000 men, plus women and children. But the Holy Spirit's working with the number 5 there, and the thought of 5 is the number of grace in Scripture. The whole Bible is written around the number 5, as is the Great Pyramid. So this is important. What we have here is talking about the power of darkness. And this is important also. This is the culmination of everything. And it's recorded in all four Gospels. And there are some parallels and contrasts which I could tell you now what they are, but I don't think any of us would remember it an hour after the sermon's over. So I'm going to try something a little bit different. I've never done this before. But what I'm going to do is read all four accounts of what we're looking at here in Luke. I only read the last verse of Luke's account. I'm going to read that in the context. But we're going to go with Matthew's the first gospel, then comes Mark, then comes Luke, and then comes John. I'm going to read the full account in each gospel. And as I'm doing this, look for parallels and contrasts. And I'll summarize those afterward. This is a very, very, very important section, a lot more so than what we realize just by reading it. So Matthew records this in chapter 26, verses 47 to 56. I'm going to read these quickly. Okay. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now here's one of the key verses. And one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Key words here I want you to remember. One of them. One of them, which were with Jesus. And a servant of the high priest. Remember those two things. Okay. Then Jesus said unto him, still in Matthew, Put up again thy sword into his place, for they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently, that means like right now, give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? And that's what this is all about, that thus it must be. In that same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, Are ye come out against me as a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me. But this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now, the account of Matthew is about the fullest account you're going to get. Having read that, now we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark. Mark's short gospel is always filled with things that are extremely important and interesting that the other three don't mention. But here's Mark's account of this. And you will realize by the context, it's the same one we're talking about here. And immediately, in Mark 14, beginning at 43, and immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, take him and lead him away. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, saying, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them, now remember that term, one of them, and one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant, remember that, one of them, a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Remember that one. And they all forsook him and fled. So that's Matthew, that's Mark. Now we go to Luke. And this is the whole version in Luke. It's in 22, chapter 22, beginning at 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them, remember that term, one of them smote the servant of the high priest, not a servant now, Luke has the servant. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. His right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, these are the VIPs, which were come unto him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. The power of darkness. Mysterious words. Matthew and Mark did not have that. Luke does. Now we go to the Gospel of John. We're in John 18, beginning at the first verse. And in the context, you will realize we're talking about the same event in all four Gospels. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where there was a garden. John mentions that. We've looked at that before. There was a garden. Fulfillment of the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is the type. Garden of Gethsemane is the fulfillment of the type. Into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Notice in John's Gospel, he records Jesus as being in control of this and starting the whole procedure. Jesus went forth to them. Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. That's the same as the I am back at the burning bush. I am. And seven times the Son of God said, I am. One of them was, I am the Good Shepherd. Seven times he used that. So, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. But he's kind of like the fifth wheel right now. He was going to be the one to show who Jesus was. And Jesus comes out and gives himself up. So Judas didn't really accomplish anything. So as soon as he had said unto them, I am, that's what I'm going to translate this, which I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. The whole shebang. Helpless on the ground. Then, the power of the word, by the way. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Jesus is the one who's issuing the commands. Notice that? And they obey. they obey. So the other disciples were let go, and this, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Now comes a few other things. Then Simon Peter, not one of them, one of them, one of them, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest servant, not a high priest servant, Matthew and Mark, but the high priest servant, Luke and John, the high priest servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Surprise, surprise. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, not the devil, my Father, shall I not drink it? Then the band and captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And little did he realize the truth that he was speaking without even knowing it. So, okay, to kind of summarize this, this is a very important section, and that's why we spent all the time on it. To summarize, in the Gospel of Matthew that we looked at, in the 51st verse, behold, one of them, which wherewith Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Mark, same account in the 47th verse, and one of them that stood by drew his sword, and smote a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Luke, and one of them, so it's one of them, one of them, one of them, smote the servant of the high priest. He was the chief honcho under the high priest himself. The most powerful person outside of the high priest. The one that was closest to the high priest. That's important. The servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. Luke mentions what Matthew and Mark do not, that it was the right ear. And how did Luke know that? He wasn't out there. How do you know that? And we'll get into that in a minute, but it's interesting that Luke is the one, the first of the three Gospels, to mention the right ear, because Luke was a physician. And Matthew and Mark couldn't have cared less what ear it was that was cut off. Luke would. He's a doctor. I want to check this out. I want to examine this. Well, how was that possible? He wasn't out there. Okay, well, then we get to John. We'll get back to this in a minute. We get to John. Instead of one of them, one of them, one of them, he names names. Simon Peter. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. So Luke and John are parallel in some very important things. The servant's name, John says, was Malchus. Well, how did he know that? Okay, so we can ask a few questions. And one question would be, why would it be that Matthew, Mark, and Luke just say one of them, but John names names, Simon Peter. Why do you think this happened this way? I mean, Matthew knew it was Peter. Mark knew it was Peter. Luke knew it was Peter. They knew that very well. Why didn't they mention it? And why does John mention it then? Well, there's a reason for that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were the first three Gospels that were written. And some years after that, the Gospel of John was written. John was very young when this took place, and he lived a long life. John is the only one of the disciples that was not martyred. He lived in old age. And he was sent in exile to the Isle of Patmos. John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote three little epistles, and he wrote the book of Revelation. And by the time John wrote his gospel, where was Peter? He was dead. He was dead and buried. And all of the people that were taking place that we mentioned at the beginning, there was a multitude. They were probably dead and buried. Judas certainly was. He hung himself. The disciples were all at this time dead and buried, except John. And Peter was dead and buried. And the servant of the high priest was dead and buried. And the chief priests, captains, and elders were dead and buried. Now, if one of the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, had mentioned that it was Peter that took the sword and took a swipe at the servant, Peter's life would have been in danger. So the Holy Spirit doesn't record that. There's a saying that goes, it's really true. You don't load a shotgun that's pointed at your head. The devil doesn't have to know everything, and he shouldn't know everything, and he doesn't know everything. There are some things that are hidden from him. And the same is true of the children of the devil. They don't know everything. Okay, so anyway, now that Peter's dead and gone, he's not being hurt one single bit by the fact that John mentions him by name. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest, the servant of the high priest, sir. Why does he mention that? Well, he mentions it because the high priest's servant is dead now also. And if it had been known in the days that Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote, the high priest of the servant would have been in real trouble. So the Holy Spirit withholds that information from the wicked ones. Luke mentions it, and John mentions it. So, okay, John was out there that night. He was an eyewitness. Even though it was done in the darkness of night, he knew what was happening. Luke was not. And how does it happen that Luke knows that it was the servant of the high priest? And who told him? Did Luke have a personal contact with John? Is that why he knew that Peter was the one? And is that why he knew that it was the high priest's servant, the chief honcho? Is that how he knew? You know, Luke accompanied Paul on some of his journeys. And Paul had a physical impediment. We're not sure what it was. We can guess, but that's a guess. We're not going to do that. But the doctor was with him. And when all the others deserted him, the beloved physician was still there. And so Luke learned a lot from Paul. He learned a lot from John, undoubtedly had personal contact. And Luke wasn't guessing when he mentions the right ear because he examined it. He examined the right ear of Malchus. Reading between the lines, it's got to be that way. That's how he knew this. And he was with, John gave him this information. Now, this was not done just by happenstance. There's a very important point here that I want to emphasize at the end of all this, and that is that the Heavenly Father always protects the honor of His Son. To repeat that, the Heavenly Father always protects the honor of His Son. And if there's ever a time where, humanly speaking, it seems as if Jesus is being greatly dishonored, the Father makes sure that He takes that dishonoring away and gives His Son a greater honor. That happens all the time. So, looking at it from the human side of things, just from the human side of things, as an onlooker, the world would look at it, what did Jesus lose? He lost one of His 12 disciples. One of the 12 that was with Him for 3 solid years. And saw most of the miracles that Jesus did, and heard most of the sermons and teachings that Jesus did, and He deserted. And to the human onlookers, this would be a tremendously embarrassing thing for Jesus. So the Father wiped that embarrassment, quote unquote, away. And instead of the one that Jesus lost, which, by the way, was never one of God's elect in the first place, he was a hypocrite. You don't need people like that. So Jesus didn't really lose anything, but it looked like it to some people. But what did he gain? He gained the chief honcho under the high priest. The high priest was the greatest enemy Jesus had, humanly speaking, and he lost the one that was closest to him. That's amazing. Talk about an honorable thing. And Jesus gained him. How did he gain him? Well, Peter took a sword and sliced off the right ear of the high priest's servant, and Jesus healed him. And so the hand that healed the servant, that's the last miracle that Jesus did before His hands were bound. And it was saving the servant of the high priest. The right ear is very, very important. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And Malchus lost that right ear, but it was put back by the Son of God. And he had an ear that could hear. And he's one of God's elect that at the last moment was brought into the fold by the Son of God. Who would have thought? The servant of the high priest. I think we'll end right there. That's the key point. The devil is not going to land one single punch. He's been at it throwing punches for over 6,000 years, and he hasn't landed one yet. And he's never going to. It's a total defeat.